All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast. Yeah, that's right. We're getting hoops in the offseason. We got plenty of news to talk about. Jeremy Moss, Eli Becker. So how's your bracket, first of all?
It started off terrible. First weekend was really bad. And then I picked up some steam. I think my Elite Eight, I got six of them correct. And now it's falling apart again because I had Duke over Tennessee in the title game.
Me too.
What about yours?
I had Duke and Tennessee in the Final Four. Also had Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got zero Final Four. I'm checking right now. I should have had it up a moment ago because I figured Houston and Tennessee would be some decent points because not many people have Houston, who are still a good team. Tennessee, I thought they had potential because they're number one for a while this year. I'm trying to see my last four team. I want to say, I said Duke, Houston, Tennessee.
Did you have Gonzaga?
Oh, you could say, yeah, that's it, yeah. So I had no Final Four teams, so.
I had Texas Tech, right? That was the only one.
I was thinking about them because they're good, and they play good defense and everything, and, well, yeah.
And it happens.
Hey, it's crazy bracket. Year. It happens, yeah. So, whatever. It's done. Good, great games, though. Elite Eight.
Oh, it's been fantastic, yeah.
Some of the best games out there, but we're not talking about that. We're going to talk here at MWR.com. Got to throw in a website there, get people coming by. And I appreciate all the Arkansas fans coming from various message boards, Rivals, 24/7 sites to give us rivaling March Madness Championship Week for traffic on one post that was done by our good buddy Aztec Hoops about a week ago on Nevada.
That's right, yeah.
So appreciate all that. And here's – this story's gotten crazy. Crazy, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, because we had – well – I don't know who was the first one to initially report it, but someone reported that Musselman was on campus in Fayetteville interviewing for the job. And about an hour or two after that, we have a video coming out of Musselman hanging with one of the Martin boys in Reno.
We need to talk about the video in a second here. Hold on. We need to talk about the video too in a second. Right. No, I know exactly what it was. I saw on Twitter. I updated your article. They went back and was like, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, because no kidding.
Here's the thing. Well, maybe we should back up and let people know. Musselman is a candidate for the Arkansas job. We know that 100% for sure, right?
Yes.
I trust Jeff Goodman. He knows what he's doing, right? He's a venerable basketball reporter for ESPN, CBS, and now Stadium. Is that his three stops he's been at, I believe?
Yep.
So when I see other tweets like, okay, because I actually first saw, I forget what it was the other day, before it officially came out, I'm going through our traffic on our website a couple days ago. I think it was Sunday. I think I messaged you something about this. And I'm like, oh, we're getting some traffic from – because I knew the Arkansas job's open. We briefly mentioned it last week because we had Texas, Arkansas, like certain jobs possibly opening or opening. And I'm like, oh, what's this traffic? I'm like, okay. They put our reasons why Muscle will stay, our piece from Michael there. And so I'm like, okay. So I searched Twitter. It was just all rumor stuff. Nothing substantial. All from whoever just saying stuff. Like he had like Musselman. But there's enough tweets. I'm like, oh, this is something to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not just – it was mostly fans saying just be cool to have him, but there must have been something maybe we missed or something locally that they're in Arkansas, Fayetteville, saying, okay, he's on our radar.
Can we also add that this all materialized on April 1st? So we had to be extra cautious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the worst day in the world. Like, I even, at my other radio show here in Salt Lake, we still like Timmer Fredette just because, like, I mentioned one of our other shows. I saw something on the 2nd from the Sunset coach. I'm like, it wasn't from the official team account. It was just from something like a video of the coach talking about Jimmer's going to play more. I'm like, this was posted in 2nd. It's not the official account. I talked with one other guy who I work with who, I'm like, hey, what's up with this? Because he covers his other job. He kind of just fills in for the news, but he also covers BOE extensively. Nope, that's legit. Dallas first press conference. I'm like, good. Okay, we'll talk about it then because I didn't want to get fooled even the day after. So April 1st, it's like, oh, the worst. But so this guy, Trey Shepp, I'll put his name out there from 103.7 The Bus, and he's on campus. I'm like, okay, I'm a radio guy. It depends what you do. Like, I know people in radio. Some of them say, yeah, I'm a journalist or I'm just an entertainer or whatever. Some know people, like, just kind of behind the scenes knowing people. Some report stuff, some don't. It depends. A lot of them don't just because, hey, we're here to talk about what's going on. I may know a few people, stuff like that. Not all of them are going to break a ton of news. So this guy, it's like, seemed reasonably connected, covered Razorback stuff for, like, 20-plus years. Then you see the photo of, hey, there's a press conference coming up. Okay, maybe there's a little something here. The craziest thing, the good place to break this down is Reno Gazette Journal. So where we're at right now is that Muss is in allegedly in Arkansas. Oh, candidate for sure, right? We know that. In Arkansas, maybe not. There's people saying like our I don't know who DM'd me. I'm not gonna say who it was. Cause I don't know if it's to be out there. But like, he's in California or in Nevada as of X amount of time on like Sunday or something. He took a quick recruiting or vacation in California. And then here's where we get to a video Tuesday morning from Caleb Martin. Or actually, first off, Danielle Musselman checks the Gazette Journal, and this wording is very specific, which makes me a little suspicious. He's here in Reno with no plans to go anywhere. You could take that about five different ways, right?
How so?
Well, okay, he's here in Reno right now. Like, is he actually in Reno at this moment as that text, or he's going to stay in Reno because he wants to be the coach of Nevada?
Mm.
Right? That's not too far out there, is it?
I mean, I guess so, but at that present time, it's probably right. I mean,
I'm not saying
no. I see what you mean by you can take it a bunch of different ways.
It's particularly worded where, which is fine because I guarantee there's some sort of conversation with Arkansas, but she's not like it's not saying he's going to be the Nevada head coach. Has no plans to go anywhere. He's here in Reno with no plans to go anywhere. Does that mean he has no plans to go to see a movie tonight? No plans to go to lunch later. He's just chilled at home because season's over. He's back recruiting from or his little quick getaway to California. It's worded very specifically because she's no dummy. She's been through this before last couple of years. Okay, so we have that, which I'm tending to for, honestly, what you probably should take from that. He's here in town, likes his job. That's what you should probably take from it. But when you're looking at this stuff, you kind of go through A, B, or C. It's not saying he wants to be the Nevada head coach forever in Reno. It's something, oh, he's here in town, doesn't want to go anywhere, which could be the case. He has a contract offer out there for him, but he's not going to sign it yet. So next we have the Goodman tweets and stuff. We have the video. I do very like how, who is it? I'm going to butcher this name. There's two people here. Sabohan McAndrew and Brent McGinnis with that Caleb Martin video. Do we know when the video is taken? I like how they question it. It's like, oh, they're not clear or don't know if the video was shot that day, which is a little tinfoil hat, but that seriously, that video could have been taken a couple days ago. Could have been taken who knows when, right?
That did come to mind, yeah.
However, Musselman gives the retweet, gives more credence that, yeah, I'm good where I'm at the moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, okay, that gives more validity to it, excuse me. And then let's see what else we got here. And then the photo, I don't know what was set up there in Arkansas at the, was that at the basketball arena? Yeah, Bud Walton Arena. I don't know.
Well, there was one other thing I was going to mention.
The Wikipedia editor. I like how they put editor in that when they make the changes.
Oh yeah. Okay. So the tweet or
the contract.
Musselman quote tweeted Caleb Martin's video that he posted.
Yeah, that's what I was referring
at 3:57, yeah. And then it had a location set on it because it had from Reno, Nevada.
Ooh.
So that tweet had the location on it. He did tweet again today.
Musselman's or the one from Caleb Martin?
Musselman tweeted again today at 6:49 a.m. April 3rd, but it did not have a location on it, so I don't know.
Wait, which one did the first, his retweet?
The one that he quote tweeted Martin's video.
Well, Martin,
yesterday at 4 p.m., yeah.
Yeah, Martin says Reno High School.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. I see. Okay, I'm on the tweet now.
Yeah, ooh. So Musselman's at about 4 p.m., it's tweeted from Reno, and then he tweeted again this morning, but it doesn't have a location on it, so I don't know.
Oh, boy, that's good sleuthing there. Let's check his other hold on. No, here's what I'm doing. No, I'm serious. I'm going to go through a couple tweets here just to see, because it may be a – it's odd because that tweet does mention
– like none of his other tweets have location.
That's what I was wondering too, yeah, because I'm looking through a couple other ones. Okay, because had multiple other tweets had Reno or San Diego or Las Vegas for the just traveling.
I think only the one where he quote tweeted Martin had a location on it.
Think that's specific?
Pretty much. So
no, I'm serious. No. Do you think that
interesting deal?
Was that intentional? You think
it could have been? Because I did see people mention it. Because
I'm looking at another tweet with a video on there, like from March 24th. No location setting. Ooh, this is getting juicy. Like this is weird, but do you think he turned it on just for that one tweet because he's in town at that moment?
He might have. Yeah.
Can we just?
I mean. I would.
I know that. Oh, that's amazing. That's next level stuff. Good job on him. But then there's also a tweet where I'm going to that same Reno Gazette article, and we'll get to more what this means basketball wise. I mentioned the quote editor. I'm like, no, how about some random guy has a login to Wikipedia, because I can do that, and I'm not a Wikipedia editor. Yes. So that's just kind of a joke, I'm assuming, so whatever. And then there's last one here where a Twitter account who's I'll say a no-name guy, says, because he says he knows contract lawyers and has a quote, Musk said he's committed to bringing Arkansas back to promised land and looks forward to building the top national program. With a deal worth 5 years, $14.5 million, with five more possible incentives. This is some random dude on Twitter who I bring up for some, because other people do, has 92 followers.
Doesn't everyone have a guy this time of year? Like, oh yeah, I know this guy at the Co-Rec who said they saw a Muslim in Fayetteville, and like, I mean, come on.
I know. I like how they put it in there, because they're skeptical, because people, like, I find random stuff too. It's like, I do appreciate them putting it in there. Because you want info out there, because that's kind of a big deal to say. Well, here's two things. This guy, if assuming that's his real name, I should look it up. But what does he have to lose? Nothing. Does he just want his 5 seconds of fame? Because I went through all this during conference realignment, specifically with BYU.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys, I know this guy, I know that guy. There's that West Virginia dude guy people laugh, make fun of, who backdoors every argument to say so he can't be wrong.
Yeah.
No, so kidding. This guy has nothing to lose. What to gain? Oh, get the triple digits in Twitter fandom? Because he got a lot of decent replies, a couple dozen retweets or something. He's like, says he's pretty confident, but I don't know. I'm going to say no, but that contract, that amount, would line up with an SEC job though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But the $5 million more in incentives, that seems pretty rich for any school, right? $1 million a year in incentives possibly?
That's high. That is pretty high.
Dude, he's not Jeff Tedford. Man, dude, he gets all sorts of
like Tony Bennett got, what, $250,000 for advancing to the Elite Eight, so I don't know about $1 million every year.
I don't know what that entails. It's here's where it could work into play. Incentives may not necessarily mean contract bonuses, but it could be car allowances, country club stuff, housing. Maybe, mm-hmm. But even that seems a lot, $5 million. Mm-hmm. So that's where, and then, oh, go ahead. I haven't read the Chris Murray piece. What is his update? Is it kind of the same thing, or is there anything new to add on to this?
It's mostly about what happened yesterday. So confirming that he is a candidate, which we all know. Mm-hmm. Also that he wasn't in Fayetteville on Tuesday and hasn't been there throughout this process. We don't know if he's going to be in Fayetteville at any point, though, so that's just like as of now.
Where's your plane tracker software? Get up on that.
Actually, you did mention flight tracker on here.
Yep.
That someone from Arkansas might have come to a visit with him. So
that'd make more sense to be more clandestine, to make it, you know what I mean, under the radar a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing that.
But also, real quick, he did join, if say they came yesterday. If he didn't go back, that's a huge thing for Nevada.
That is true.
Because there's the time to come to town. I think that happened, I could be wrong, but I know it's happened before, but I want to say with Chris Peterson from Boise to Washington, they came to town and left with him, I believe it was. I could be wrong, but that does happen. Like if they come to you and you don't go, that's usually not necessarily for sure they're staying at their school, but it's a good sign. Better sign leaning to staying in town.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, just what Daniel Musselman said yesterday, probably that there were some phone interviews that took place, but we don't really know about. And that's the gist of it, and that's all that we really know and probably will know until something else surfaces. But he obviously is a candidate there, and he's, from what I've heard, he is Arkansas's top choice, but there also might be a bit of I don't know if it's like confusion, but maybe a little bit of indecisiveness on the part of Arkansas, whether everyone is on board with hiring Musselman. At least that's what I've heard. So we'll see if that happens here. But once Buzz Williams was out, I think at Arkansas, that's when Arkansas turned to Musselman. And so we'll see if that ends up working. But I think what's happened the last 24 hours is probably a pretty good sign if you're a Nevada fan that he hasn't yet made the trek down there yet. And at least is showing signs via his social media and whatever else that he still intends to stay.
Sure. So here's how we know who's kind of in the mix. The flight tracker thing, that's interesting because it went from Springdale, Arkansas to Iowa City, which Frank McCaffrey, just saying, out there. So then to Minneapolis, Final Four location, to probably, I don't know why I'd go to Minneapolis. Coaches stuff.
Well, probably our coaches in Minneapolis right now.
Already though, you think?
Too? Oh yeah.
Okay. Maybe they're okay. So maybe one of the other candidates that makes. Okay, that's what I was thinking. But I'm thinking Tay's Wednesday, not Tuesday. So never mind. So probably there to go meet the coach. And then that's on Monday. I thought he did that all in one day. Never mind. I'm like, that's a crazy trip in one day. And yeah. Then Tuesday, Minneapolis to Reno, and then to Van Nuys for whatever reason. Before, I don't know. I don't know. What's in Van Nuys, California?
I have no idea. I've never heard of that.
I've heard of it, but I'm just kind of thinking. So you also got Steve Alford, Musselman, McCaffrey. They said there's four coaches. Is that including Kelvin Sampson, Houston, who's staying? Is that considered?
Yeah, it could be, but yeah, he confirmed that he's staying. I'm pretty sure he's signing an extension.
Yeah, well, he mentioned there's four candidates, so I was trying to piece out the other one. So here's the thing, too. How familiar are you with Arkansas basketball? Like, just in big picture wise.
Like how
good they are?
Sense?
Are they a good program? Is it besides being SEC? Like, what's your familiarity with this team?
Well, I think that they can be very good, and they can probably be top 25 good most years. And they play an excellent conference, and they have good facilities. When Bud Walton Arena is going and they're sold out, like that's one of the toughest places to play in the entire country. They pack nearly 20,000 people into that arena if it's sold out. So that place can get going, and especially if there's a lot of fan support. So but it's still a middle-tier SEC job, and that probably isn't going to change under the direction of any one specific coach. So it is a little peculiar for someone in Musselman's shoes to be rumored to take a job like UCLA or Texas if it were to open up, or some of those more prominent jobs, and then go to a middle-tier SEC job, which he probably could have taken a year or maybe even 2 years ago. So,
do you mean to go to Arkansas instead?
Yeah. And that's not to say that he wasn't wanted by UCLA or anything like that. Maybe he didn't want to go to UCLA, and that's been the case for a lot of these coaches. But UCLA is still, in my opinion, a much better job than Arkansas is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Musselman's definitely capable of coaching at a program like UCLA. So I don't know if him taking this job would be selling himself short, because he's got to be, I don't know, at least top three in terms of non-Power 6 coaches that can move up, if not second or the top guy. I couldn't think of anyone else that really who is potentially looking for a job that has more likelihood of getting one of those top jobs. So it would be a really good step up for him, but I don't know if it is the type of job that you would want to wait this many years in Reno to get, if that makes sense. Because I still feel like he could get a job like UCLA or Texas and do great things there.
All right, so I want your opinion because you're a bit younger than me. I remember back in when I was younger, like early high school, Nolan Richardson taking him to the Final Fours, winning a national title. So I was going through some of our comments, and people are like, Arkansas is a crap job, it's terrible. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's not crap.
It's more like, it's real, honestly really comparable to UNLV, I'd say, with probably slightly more success from that same time. Well, slightly more from when they won their last national title. Not much more, but a little bit more. Because you go back to Nolan Richardson, they went to the national title in 94, won it, back-to-back, 95, lost it. Made the title game, back-to-back championship appearances, amazing. Went to the Sweet 16 the year after. Since 96, they've had a couple wins here and there in NCAA tournaments. Nothing amazing, been okay. They've been above average. One or two losing seasons, not many. Or a couple, about four losing seasons. So it's a job that could, like, I'm not going to say rival Kentucky, but when they were at their peak, if they could somehow get back to that era, which would be difficult because Richardson from 88 in the Southwest Conference till SEC in 01 only missed NCAA tournament four times.
And advancing pretty deep,
yeah,
too.
Advancing deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's potential there, but basketball's changed. That's 20 plus years, just about 20 years ago from all that stuff going on. So it's there where they like basketball. It could be good at basketball. It really could be what Tennessee is essentially, right? That range, like not what Kentucky is year every year, because that's just amazing what Cal's doing there, and they have who they had before. But it's a job where the potential's there, but right now it's not, because they've only been to three NCAA tournaments since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good job, but you're right. There are better jobs like Arkansas, UCLA. Oh, UCLA. What if Arizona opens up with Sean Miller? Who knows if what's going to happen there this year or next? Another thing to consider is, would Musselman have a better team next year to go farther in advance or do something to boost his status? Was this year his best year with the most talented team? Probably most talented, but who knows if he lets Jordan Brown play next year? What if he gets these transfers who's always looking at guys from whoever across the country? So as for the open jobs, I get he's going to listen to it, because earning 2.5 times your income at a premier conference, also where the pressure's not there, he can make the, like we messaged back and forth, you to me, he can make the NCAA tournament with like 18 wins.
That's the other thing to gauge. I think you bring up a good point there with the pressure too, because if you do take one of the jobs, like I mentioned with UCLA or Texas, then, or Arizona, then you're immediately hopping into a place where the expectations are sky high and you have to win and advance in the NCAA tournament immediately. And with a place like Arkansas, which I think your comparison to UNLV is great, it was a really good team in the 90s and has had some trouble the last decade plus, you're not in a scenario where you have to immediately contend for like a second weekend appearance in the NCAA tournament. You do have some time. You can win 18 to 20 games and get into the March Madness, and then kind of build off of that. And once you see some positive momentum, then interest starts to improve. You get better recruits, and you kind of go from there. So I think that's another thing to take into consideration, is that maybe, even as strange as it sounds, maybe you don't take that best, most prominent job, because it does come with those expectations. And to be quite honest, when Musselman's been put in that situation and throughout his coaching career, when he has to deliver or he enters a place where he has these massive expectations, and I'm looking directly at his two NBA head coaching tenures, which were complete flameouts, like that's where he struggled. But when he goes to a little bit more of a mid-level job like Nevada, that he succeeded and he's risen back up. So
there's that.
I think it's interesting where his career can go from here, because he can take one of these jobs and I think do great and continue to excel and get to the NCAA tournament, advance, have individual player awards, all that good stuff. Or he can wait another year, pick up another 20-25 win season with the Wolfpack and hold out for what could be an even better job.
That's a good point. Forgot where he was. He with the Kings and Warriors, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is right. Like the not okay, this sounds wrong to say, but like maybe he can't handle pressure. And some people could point to that this year. Oh, he lost the first round NCAA tournament. Big games, loses San Diego State. He won, what, one Mountain West Conference tournament, right?
Yes.
And so there is some legitimacy to that, but it's not to say maybe he doesn't, like you said, maybe he's fine where he's at, keep winning enough. But the pressure, I don't know, the pressure arena is pretty high at the moment. But like you said, go to Arizona, UCLA, Texas. It's going to be, you need 25 wins now. You need to win the Pac-12, Big 12, 8 right away if you take any of those jobs. So maybe you're right. Maybe he doesn't want to. He's fine getting a bump to $1.3 million and being the head coach arena where he's close to California. His wife's in that area, is not too far to go to Lake Tahoe or go to Bay Area from there. He could still win plenty of games, do a good job, because they're not going to fire him unless he does poorly. But if he goes to Arkansas, let's say he goes to one NCAA tournament in 4 years, last year 16-20, he's gone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so there's a lot of things to consider. Maybe he doesn't want to have all that pressure. But Arkansas, again, it's like Nevada, UNLV a little bit, where it's like, okay, you can – hopefully they'll give them time, because their coach, was it Mike Anderson, was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He was fired after not making NCAA tournaments, after going 26 wins, 23 wins, 18 wins. So maybe, I'm not saying you can't handle pressure, But that's a little bit in his background for his coaching ability, right? That's not too unkind to say.
I think there's some truth behind that. Yeah.
So, what do you think he will do? What? Because what's gonna happen here? Give me your expert insight takes. You know everything.
I well, it was
Gut
sounding a
feeling, more
lot like
likely.
it was sounding a lot like he was, I mean, a few tweets away from probably taking the Arkansas job, and now I'm not so sure. So I think ultimately, I think the Arkansas job might go to someone else. I'm kind of curious which other names surface. I did see Steve Alford's name come up, which is interesting, and I don't know if that is really going to be that serious, but there are a lot of coaches probably in Musselman's position that want to be at one of these power conference jobs, and Arkansas is attractive for a lot of reasons. So in the end, I don't think that he ends up in Arkansas, but I also don't know if every position that's open now, I don't know if that's all we're going to get. I think there's a good chance that we might see another one of these big ones open if Arizona decides to move on from Sean Miller, or if something happens with LSU and Will Wade, because as far as I know, he's still kind of in that wait and see mode. I think if LSU opens up, there's a really good chance that Musselman interviews and is immediate top candidate there, as he's already been the assistant and associate head coach there. And if Arizona does as well, I would imagine Musselman's at least one of the first one or two guys that comes to mind. So if those jobs open up, I'm pretty confident Musselman's not going to be back in Reno next season. But if Arkansas is the most attractive job on the market, I'm pretty confident he'll still be coaching with the Wolfpack next season.
So do you think basically what you're saying is that he, if he's leaving, it's leaving for like a really, really good job. Not
I think
just
so.
not, because here's the thing too. There's all these coaches who been around like, oh, I've only coached college. They've been assistant. This is their first head coach. Like, let's look at what UNLV is doing with TJ. His coach, he's there a couple years at South Dakota State there. First big job. We'll talk about that in a minute because that's a lot of pay money to give him to come to town there. But Musselman has made money in the NBA. He's made decent money other coach. Like, he's not like a guy, this is his first time getting the job. Oh, I need to advance. I need to go higher. He's been at the highest level of coaching basketball in the United States in the NBA. He's coached well wherever he's gone. He's been at LSU. He's at, what, Arizona State for a season, right? I believe, assistant there, or associate head coach, one of the two. So he's been at high levels with the NBA. And so it's not like he's not lacking for money, I'd assume, and he's getting paid well in Nevada as well. And so it's not like he needs to take the jump to prove himself. Maybe he's fine and wants to, because we saw, who was it? The guy, who's our, who's at CBB today? Who wrote the thing about the mid-major
Kevin
thing?
Sweeney?
Yeah, Kevin Sweeney. He had a piece about that where it's like, well, quit looking for the next Mark Few or something. I don't
Yeah, that
know.
was a really good column. Yeah.
It was. I need to go read it more, but I don't know if Musselman's going to be that guy, but he also, he's been around and he knows, so he can be more selective because he's been there at bigger jobs and he's financially fine. Because, I'm not to say guys at South Dakota State or other schools aren't making decent money or really good six-figure money, but he's already just over a million. He's had it before. He's coached at these levels before. And he's built, like, you could say he's, quote, building by transfers, but if he could build by winning, the transfer thing won't last forever. Obviously, it's not a way to go like 10 years in a program, but he's already proven to recruit well enough to get Jordan Brown. He's always going to bring a transfer here and there to come into play. And if they keep winning, and you got, if Brown plays well, it's like, oh, maybe I will play. It may take me a year to get into play to get all the time as a highly regarded recruit. It'll both mesh together. And maybe he's fine making 1.2 this year, 1.5. You know what I mean? Just slowly building up to keep winning because he's not going anywhere by getting fired. But I think he's just being particularly selective. And it seems like UCLA doesn't really want him. So there's that too. I say he stays.
I think he does too.
Do you, any caveats to that? Or do you just say he's not taking the Arkansas job?
Well, I think if better jobs open up, there's that possibility, but I don't know if it will because it's been kind of quiet with what's been going on at Arizona now, LSU, but their tournament run is over, so we could see some movement there. I don't know how. I mean, obviously Musselman's heard some rumors about him and which jobs he's capable of taking and can take. I don't. I mean, you like to believe that these coaches are so focused on what's going on within their programs, but you have to hear it at some point. It's just out there, and especially when you're on social media and stuff, you're going to see that. So I know that he is aware that he's capable of taking one of these prominent jobs, and so that has to at least be in the back of your mind when you interview at a place like Arkansas, which is still a good job, but more of a middle-tier type power conference position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has success potential. I say he's not taking the Arkansas job. I'll say he'll be in Reno next year.
I'm with you on that. I think he still is the Nevada head coach. However, the season after, I'm pretty sure he's gone. I think one of these big jobs is going to open up, and that could do it.
Assuming he has reasonable success, like relative.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that they'll do well next year.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on for that a little bit. Let's go to the we haven't talked since apparently UNLV is back to winning national titles. Is that what I heard?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to get heated on this.
No, I my piece was reasonable. It's tepid. Two things on that. UNLV is giving TJ Altenberger the highest contract in the conference. So at the very worst, back to Nevada, Musselman will get a bump of at least $100,000 more than him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is at $1.1 million with 100,000 pay raise per year. So I'd say Musk gets probably $1.3 million, assuming he stays. Because he's at $1 million last year, Dutcher $805,000, Medved $700,000. Leon Rice needs a pay bump. Come on, $675,000. Get on it, Broncos. Smith is pretty good too, $650,000 year one coach. Gene Aprullo, NA, not applicable. Not sure. Couldn't find it. But it's probably for the better. I don't know.
Oh.
his win per dollar, not very good.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring this up, because first off, the salary thing is weird because you pay him a lot of money for some reason. I don't know what it is, but let's get to his comments, because I thought I was pretty fair in what I was saying about him, because I get his point. It's like, it's been done before, and I realized too, I was like, crap, I posted this on April 1st. Way to go. And that's not my intention. I'm like, we haven't written anything in a while. We need to get some content back on the site. We've been kind of chilling for a little bit, which is fine. But then at some point, put out, you know, it's April 1st. I'm like, yeah, but he did say that a couple days ago. I just happened to put it on April 1st, which I guess good on me. So here's his exact thing he says, so we're clear. And we'll kind of wrap up after this, because we'll talk about early projections next week or two. Also, let me back up. I'd say Arkansas gets in coach by Final Four weekend, because all the million coaches are there. So I think,
yeah, I think so too.
We'll know by the end of the week of what's going on there. So here's what Altenberger said last week at his press conference. When you think about the history of this program, there are not many programs in the United States where you have a real chance to win a national championship. Real chance? I guess since you've technically done it once, you can do it again.
I guess so.
He goes on to say, we have that here. Accurate. It has been done here. Check mark. Check the box. It has been proven it can be done here. Yes, in a hot tub as well. My ad there. So we have the historical reference as the bar that we know we can get to. Again, factually correct. We will compete for conference championships, good, and NCAA berths in one day national championship again. Those are all 100% accurate statements, right?
Yeah.
How realistic are they?
The first two I have no problem with.
Correct.
There's no reason why UNLV can't compete for, first of all, Mountain West titles, and then also NCAA tournament titles. Or NCAA tournament berths, but national titles, that's, you have to start to advancing deep in the tournament on a consistent basis, really get a lot of excitement around your program and do all these other things before that's possible.
True. Also, I put in the article, Jeff Grammer replied to us and said, hey, how about you win an outright title? I'm like, oh, outright. That 1990 title? Co-champions with Utah. Mm-hmm. Co-champions. Yeah. So, let's start with that. Like, win an outright. Like, realistically, UNLV should finish no worse than fourth every year, and fourth should be considered a dagger for them.
Agreed.
Like, Nevada's on the up and up, but if you think about it, it typically should be every year some order of, I'll exclude Nevada just because historical purposes, they've been, had a couple great runs, but not decades great. It should be some order of San Diego State, New Mexico, UNLV every year. Should be in the mix. That's probably should be your conference champion every year. Those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look since back from the late 80s, just be those three schools. You have CSU, who proved can do it a couple of times at 10 miles. You, obviously, Nevada, Mouth Musselman, Leon Rice, and Boise State, if you can pull things up, and Craig Smith, Utah State. And look at Utah State. They're finally back to winning a conference title, after Big West dominating. WAC took a couple years to dominate, took a little bit extra longer time to not dominate, but I guess, yeah, you dominate if you want to share the conference title, you're dominating. So, but those three schools should be in the mix, and UNLV should finish Norristown fourth every year. Mm-hmm. But I get he likes the goals, and I was not being like snide at all in saying this. Like, consider they haven't been ranked in the top 25 end of year since 2012. They haven't made it past the Sweet 16 since Lon Kruger was there in 2013. Or excuse me, where'd it go here?
Yeah, it was Kruger.
Yeah, Kruger, 2013. Oh, no, sorry, 2007, sorry. 2013 was the last time they made NCAA tournament. 2012, last time they've been AP top 25 in the end of the year. And they've only been, this staggered and shocked me, since their Final Four blowout loss to Duke, they have only been to 7 NCAA tournaments since then, since 1981. Wow. 7.
Yeah.
That is shockingly low for a program that should be, that's considered and thinks of itself as one of the top 5 jobs in the West.
Yeah. It's placing a lot of weight on what happened quite a while ago.
And
I would say.
And that's why we compared it to the Arkansas job a bit too.
Yeah, I think those comparisons are pretty fair.
So, a couple things. They can recruit talent. Look at Anthony Bennett, Brandon McCoy, first round, like 5-star guys. Other guys who come to town have done really good, but I think you made a good point too. They guys leave early, and that's the issue with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have, I think, one guy who pulled his name out of the portal. They had 7. Now they're down to 6, right?
Well, Trey Woodbury is one that announced that he will be back.
Yeah, because we update our list there. Start with that. Keep your roster together, and things will come together and be fine. I don't care if you get all the 5-star guys or just get a run-of-the-mill, average, above-average college basketball guys.
They did get their first commitment on Tuesday, which is Jonah Antonio, who started his career with Mount St. Mary's and went to JUCO.
I saw that.
And
yeah.
So I think he's a good fit. He can score. He can shoot from deep. Has a lot of range. So I think that's the type of guy that Otzelberger will be looking at. But to go back to your point, just keeping the rosters relatively the same from year to year, I think, is what will make or break his tenure.
Also, yeah, I think too. Like, if you get, like, it's for any job. Like, you can have guys who are just like, look at Air Force, for example. They're bringing back everybody next year for most parts. They may not win the conference title. We're not going to project them to win a conference title because you put that out there, and we'll discuss it most likely next show. But they will be a team that could knock off Nevada, San Diego State, or Utah State because of what they did this year. They've won some games they probably, or we didn't think they would. Having that talent back on your team and consistency will help you out. And so, and Air Force clearly doesn't have superior athletes, 5-star, 4-stars, maybe even low 3-star guys at best on their team. So if they can get that together, that's what you want to do. And the one final thing, scheduling. He wants to schedule good teams quickly. I say slow down, right?
I think fans would be more interested in winning games first than playing some of these top 50 teams that could run you out of your own building.
I would say maybe not do what they did with McCoy a couple years ago, where a super soft schedule.
Yeah.
But I get it. They could go to, if they really need to, they can go to the T-Mobile Arena, or was it T-Mobile Center. They got Duke there. They can bring teams to Vegas, which is great. And we know what Craig Thompson wants, and the league wants to schedule better teams. But I say this in football a lot, and this is very much true in basketball, the net rating, the Q1, Q2, whatever victories. Play teams that are good conferences, better conferences, but may not be the best team. Like, play Illinois, right? Like, I get, like, look what Nevada did. Their schedule didn't work out great. USC, Arizona State, Utah. But teams like that, and hopefully they get to at least Q2 games, those add up. You may not get many Q1 games on your schedule unless stuff happens, because those are pretty good teams to get on your schedule. But there's no reason they can't get mid to upper Pac-12, get some big, you think UConn, Cincinnati came out to Vegas. You know what I mean? Teams like that. Play Houston. Play Connecticut. I guess I said Connecticut. Try to play. So if you want to bring teams to town, you can probably get the top of the Missouri Valley to come in. Well, I shouldn't mention Missouri Valley, but you know what I mean? Like, teams like.
it's true. Yeah.
Like, even BYU, they played Utah State. They're usually, maybe not next year, but probably going to be at least a Q2 game. But more realistically, try to get Kansas State. You know what I mean? Try to get Iowa. Try to get Iowa State. Get Illinois. Get Indiana. Get teams. Well, Indiana, I'm trying to get back there, but you know what I mean? Northwestern. Try to get Florida. Teams like that who are pretty, I guess they played Florida, Nevada did, but you know what I mean? Those type of games that are winnable games, but may not be the tip of the top of the conference.
And those get you Q2 and Q1 victories in most circumstances.
Yeah, and those are winnable games. Like, playing Washington State might be Q2 game just because by virtue of them being in the Pac-12.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not Cal, but...
yeah.
But get a mix. Build into it. Maybe have one... Like, if they can do it, try to swing, like, one great game a year. Like, really good game. Try to get... Like, they had Duke. Try to get Texas. Try to get... Kansas State came to Denver to play Colorado State. Try to get something like that. They can get Arizona to town. I know they can. They can get UCLA to town. It's like, maybe one of those games start off, but mix it up, some winnable games, because confidence is a big deal. Like, look at this year. They won all the games they should have won. When they played good teams, they lost. Their schedule this year was a good one they wanted to do. So I think that's, don't go out and try to schedule Duke, UNC, Gonzaga, Michigan State, and Houston. You know what I mean? The Houston's your easiest game, and they're a top 10 team. Don't do that, because that's going to be failure, immediate failure.
I think to a little extent, this is kind of coach speak, saying that you're going to schedule really good teams, because you're not going to say, yeah, we're going to schedule a bunch of Prairie View A&Ms and go 13-0 in non-conference every year. It's almost like every October during media days when every single coach says that they're going to speed it up and, like, play at a good pace. Like, we know that some of these teams are going to end up, like, 250th in tempo. So I think it's just one of those things that people say. But you're right about strategically planning out these schedules. I think there's a lot to it. Some teams know how to do it. Other teams don't. And you hope that Otzelberger and his staff are able to assemble competitive schedules that both grant you victories or at least opportunities to pick up Q1 and Q2 victories, but also don't wear down your team and produce some pretty bad win-loss record.
Yeah, and so that just, you just got to kind of mix it up. So you got to figure things out. So just really quick, I have there's a Twitter follower. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to. I just directed them to the link. They are a, if you're a Nevada fan, know how to spell Wolfpack.
Yeah, no kidding.
Grammar Wolfpack. one last coaching bit of news. Did you see Menzies looking at Grand Canyon assistant job?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Mm-hmm.
So I saw some tweets on there. It's like, is he just doing UNLV a favor because they're paying him $800,000? Here's the thing. He's not going to make $800,000 as assistant. It'll just offset whatever UNLV pays him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what assistants get, particularly Grand Canyon assistants and the WAC. I would say, would he get six figures?
Yeah.
Low six figures?
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll still get whatever the difference is from UNLV paying him. So maybe it's inadvertently giving him a solid. And I see people like, well, why coach? You're getting 800 grand. He's a basketball coach. He likes to coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. It's like, why would you? And that's a pretty good program to latch onto. You know what I mean? It's like Grand Canyon's going to contend for the WAC every year. Dan Marley probably be there for a while, but Menzies likes to coach. Here's the thing, too. Do people not realize he was from the WAC, New Mexico State? He kind of knows the league pretty well. Why would you not want to have that knowledge? It's similar with Dave Rice going to Nevada for a year. He's familiar with the conference.
I think he did interview for the Cal Poly head coaching position, but didn't get it. So now he's kind of scoping out some of the better assistant coaching jobs. But I think Grand Canyon would be a nice landing spot for him to pick himself up and then find a new head coaching position pretty soon.
All right. We need to finish on something silly here because it's been too serious. We like to have fun here.
Okay.
So I've had a tweet open for a while just in front of me. Do you ever look at the Eater Twitter account at eater.com?
Sometimes, yeah.
Headline, Japan's $900 golden giant burger. 6 pounds of beef, foie gras, and fresh truffles finish off with a gold powder-infused bun on top.
Yes.
That's like a steak. $900? Here's the thing. Think about it. How big's a typical burger? Maybe if you're really hungry, maybe half pounder?
Yeah.
Okay. Divide that between 12 people. Okay. What's 900 divided by 12? Is that a reasonable fee to get the burger down to?
I mean...
if you take half a pound...
That's true, yeah.
There you go. Would you? That's obviously meant for a group. Just to say, if you're half pound, that would only be, okay, air quote, only $75 a person.
Only, yeah. Hey, if it's worth it, it's worth it. You're eating gold, aren't you?
Apparently. I've actually done that with, like, when I was living in New York City for a while or nearby, it was an ice cream sundae thing with, like, gold and stuff on top. I'm like, yeah, okay, not bad.
Dang. Whatever. Okay, Jeremy.
Dude, it wasn't. Dude. It was literally, okay. like a $30 dessert, but still. Just
well, you can say that you digested gold. I so have. Yeah,
I'll tell you this: it awesome. Added literally nothing to the food besides visually. Yeah, it looked nice. It looked pretty.
But you got to pay.
Yeah, it's look good. You want to have that get that stuff out there.
And you can always say that you did.
Oh man. Oh, okay. Let me refresh on this. I went to the article. Okay, it's a 6-pound burger. Only 2.2 pounds of meat, though. Interesting. That makes me maybe still want it, but not as much. It looks pretty good. I'm looking at it right here. It's huge. It's for a party. If I had the money and a handful of people to do it, I would try it at least once, right?
Yeah, I think you have to.
I would try a lot of stuff once. You know what I mean? It's like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I have, we'll go. Yes, words sometimes. That's words on
like
$30.
Ham? Can we get you a ham?
No.
You're not willing.
Here's what I'll do. If people want to send me a ham, give me a Honey Bake or what's the store? Honey Bake Ham Store. What's it called?
I have no idea.
Whatever. There's a store. Send me a gift card to buy ham. I'll probably just donate it to charity or something to give it to good use to people who would appreciate ham or somebody. Or maybe I'd either re-gift it or give it to – see, I'd be the nice guy there.
Re-gifter?
No, I'll be the nice guy. Donate to a charity that – like the food bank or something here.
Okay, that's fair.
See,
that's fair.
That looks look like a good guy, but can still say ham sucks.
That's true. Okay. All right. That's fair.
We haven't done much food. Are people? We don't need to dive into our ham talk now, but
we have 3 months until 4th of July, and we can go over that again.
Oh yeah, people were. What was the issue with that again? Potato salad.
I don't know, but recently, like as recent as a month ago, I've kind of come around on potato salad.
It's so good. What type? Mustard based?
What's that?
Mustard based?
Yeah. Or just any kind, really. I don't know.
That's better.
It's still poor man's coleslaw, though. Yeah, stirring up the pot.
I'm okay with coleslaw. It depends. It has to be done right, because if it's bad, it could be really bad.
Oh, it can be nasty.
So how do you make it? Do you just get it from the store? I know KFC has coleslaw, which is probably not the best standard to go by.
Use like the coleslaw mix. Mm-hmm. There's like with all the vegetables and whatever. And then I add some mayo, but not too much. Okay. Some lemon juice, pepper, some salt, and gotta put some sriracha on that.
Oh, sriracha. Oh, you know what? Okay. One last food tip. I'm still trying to lose a few more pounds, trying to get to my 212 svelteness or whatever, trying to get down mm-hmm. there. One of the things I can have for kind of what I'm working on is olives, like as part of a snack, because like a healthy mm-hmm. fat. I saw it at the store once. It's sriracha and olives. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
Kind of pricey because it's in the individual cups, like it's a to-go thing. I got it because I wanted to see what the ratio was. Tasted well. Do it yourself at home and save a ton of money because it's like $5 for that little 4-pack of olives.
Dang.
It's like, and there's probably maybe 10 each little cup. It's like I could buy a full can. That's like 2 cans worth, and that could be like $3. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe even that, depending. Like it's 1 or 1.5 cans. I'm like, okay, I'll do it myself. A little Tupperware, put like a squirt of sriracha, shake it up in there, make sure they're cold. It's like the best snack you'll ever have.
Okay.
Just trust me. Black olives, a little drop in there. Life-changing, I'm telling you.
All right.
So there you go. That's our cooking tips today. cheap That's olives good. And sriracha or the $900 golden giant burger from Japan.
Maybe we should get golden olives.
Ooh, I'll work on that. See what we can do there. All right, that's it for our show. I think we're ready there. Golden olives. Greek olives are good. Feta cheese, Greek olive, Greek salad. It's always good. Mm. All right, let's wrap it up here. No more food talks. I'm getting hungry. It's lunchtime here for me just about. So, and I got to get driving stuff. That's the show for today. Thank you for listening to all of our Nevada talk, UNLV talk, food talk. We will be back maybe next week. We'll think about it. We have our big early well, actually, we'll be back soon. Whenever the coaching hire is made or not made, we'll come back to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We can review Eli's 9 bold predictions because we need to do that one more time.
Yes.
Because Final Four is here, and, well, another one bites the dust. Does not make
no kidding.
Go that far. And we'll talk probably super early, super predictions in a week and a half. And check us out, MWR.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, anywhere you get your podcast. We're there, and we'll see you next time.